Title of message is The River is Rising. The river is rising. Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your word. Lord, I pray that nothing in my background, nothing in my life, nothing in my wrong choices or shortcomings would affect in any way what you want to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The prophet Ezekiel received a vision of a very tiny stream that trickled out of the temple in Jerusalem. A trickle of water began at the throne. It flowed past the altar, through the temple court, under the eastern gate of the city, and finally into the desert. And as the water flowed, it began to intensify and grow deeper and wider and swifter. And as Ezekiel watched, a man with a measuring rod appeared to him. Don't know exactly who it could have been. It could have been an angel. Angels many times appear as men. Could have been the incarnate Christ. Anyway, the man had a measuring rod and he appeared to him. And the man made motion to Ezekiel, "Follow me." And he led Ezekiel into the midst of the water. And he told the prophet to wade downstream about 1,000 cubits, or about 1/3 of a mile. The water rose to Ezekiel's ankles. The man brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. I'm verse 3 now, chapter 47, if you're following after. We'll be taking those verses and talking about them. Ezekiel waded onward for another 1,000 cubits, where the water now rose to his knees. After another 1,000 cubits, the water reached his loins. And finally, the fourth time, another 1,000 cubits, and the water came up to Ezekiel's chin. And at that point, it formed a vast sea. And the only way Ezekiel could have kept going is if he would swim. The man with the rod then summoned Ezekiel up to the riverbank. Verse 6 is where we had left off when we read the scriptures. As Ezekiel climbed out of the water, the man told him to look back at the flowing river. Ezekiel was amazed at what he saw. Everywhere Ezekiel looked, there was vibrant life that was springing up from in the desert. The prophet beheld an incredible scene. On both sides of the river, there was healthy trees and fruitful branches and green vegetation. Wherever the river had flowed, everything brought forth life and lived. What an awesome sight. It caused Ezekiel to exclaim, "When I returned," verse 7, if you're following, "when I returned there along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and on the other. Before him was miraculous growth." He had to wonder, what kind of water is this? It causes such incredible life to spring up so quickly. And so the man with the rod then asked Ezekiel, verse 6, "Son of man, have you seen this?" In other words, Ezekiel, do you understand what you see before you? But I believe what Ezekiel was seeing wasn't something that he could quite understand. But yet he rejoiced in the fact that what he saw was life and life abundant. How could he have understood what all he was seeing? It was a vision of the future. As the Lord, there's as a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, our Lord is not limited to time. And if you studied the book of Ezekiel, you'll know that he never does explain the vision. He just simply shares it with us. Then we jump into the New Testament, put something in Ezekiel because we'll come back, and we're going forward to the New Testament, to 1 Peter. New Testament, 1 Peter, chapter 1. Here Peter explains what Ezekiel saw. We begin in verses 10, 11, and 12. When Peter writes, "Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired, and they searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. Not all that the prophet saw was revealed to them, or nor did they have understanding of it, but they shared it for us today. And according to Peter, the prophets of old had searched to find the meaning of the many visions, but they never of those that they never understood their full revelation. And the only thing Ezekiel could do with his vision was to rejoice with those who would be rejoicing in the future time, the miraculous blessings that it was here signified. And as Ezekiel looked back at the lush growth that was caused by this river, he witnessed the glorious results of the gospel. The dry land that bloomed brought green in every direction was this picture of the Spirit's work through ages to come. The water to Ezekiel was water, but to us today it's the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. God was giving Ezekiel a look into the future, telling him, let me show you how it's going to end. Here's what will happen in my church in the last days. I'm convinced that today there's many of God's people that are dry and thirsty and they're starving for truth. Not just too long ago, I attended a funeral service of one of our dear loved ones in the family. And the eulogy brought forth that she traveled, and where she traveled, she went and visited other ministries, different ministries. It told me that she was starving for the truth. It's sad that many of our churches, people got to go somewhere else to get the truth. Isn't it sad? We know that in the last days there'll be apostate churches. We know in the last days there'll be churches that will deny the truth, that they'll deny that Jesus came in the flesh. They'll deny the Godhead. In the last days, we know that such churches will exist. We also know there'll be church that God is putting his true church together, who will worship him in spirit and in truth. So we know that amongst the messages and sermons that you've heard me preach through the years of doom and gloom, there's a hope. God always has a remnant. He always has a remnant. No matter how gloomy it may look, no matter how bleak it may be, God always has a remnant. There's always hope with God. With God, God has the last say, not the devil. He has the last say. In the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I believe that this river of his spirit is beginning to move mightily through the land. I believe that there's a supernatural outpouring of life by grace and by mercy. I believe it's happening in many areas of our land. The church will have to be alive to be able to handle what's coming. After Ezekiel beheld the greenness that had sprung forth from the desert behind him, he was now instructed to look forward in the other direction. You're with me now in back to Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 8. There he saw the mighty river emptying out of the desert into a sea. And when he said it entered, it healed the sea. Obviously, the water there was dead. It had no life where it ran into. And when it would run into that, the life of the sea would become alive. When it reached the sea, it was healed. Verse 8. And as the river God spilled into this sea, it will bring healing waters to this lifeless body of water. So what is this lifeless body of water? I believe it's the sin-sick world that we see all around us today as the final hour draws near. Hell has erupted. Everywhere we see gross darkness and rampant lawlessness. The news is full of reports of perversions and hatred of Christ and corruption and pleasure and addictions of all kinds. I believe this is this lifeless body of water that we look at as a civilization around us. And according to Ezekiel's vision, into this sea of death, God's river will flow and supernaturally will bring change. A flood of life, Christ's life, is going to increase everywhere that the river flows. And you might say, Pastor, I don't see that happening. And I agree, it doesn't appear to be so. But I can tell you, Satan is making a last desperate, last ditch stand. He's in panic mode. He knows his time is short. So he's bringing forth every possible weapon that he can. And yet God has declared, you will not have this generation. My river cannot be stopped. Amen. Amen. No matter what the devil tries to throw, it's no match for the power of God. We can't allow ourselves to judge by just what we see, because many times what we see is an illusion. You know, God's working even in the midst when we think he's not. He's working in your life even when you think he's not working. He's working in your life. I've seen it in my own life. I got impatient many times, still do. I can tell you, I just need to learn to just wait on God, because he does things so well. And he's always on time. Always on time. Woo, glory. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And when he says he'll do it, he'll do it. He has proven his word true for centuries. Who has ever been able to stop? It'll never become a trickle again. It won't be diminished by a mad devil or slowed by the increase of iniquity. It is going to increase and build in pressure and in force. How can we know Ezekiel's vision is meant for our day, Pastor? When Ezekiel says he saw the water which one must swim. Now I'm at verse 5, if you're in chapter 47. The word swim suggests swarm, exceedingly numerous. The healing waters will teem with life. Multitudes of fish, as you read on, you'll see there'll be multitudes of fish. Where there was once death, there'll be swarms of living things. Many multitudes of living things. And then look at verse 10. It shall be the fishermen will stand by the banks. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be exceedingly many. Did you should underline that in the King James? Exceedingly many. Verse 10. This vision calls for many fishermen to come and to fish in the healing waters and to bring in multitudes with their catch. So what does this fish signify? Jesus said he would make his disciples what? Fishers of men. Fish represents converts. Those who have been brought to life by the healing waters that flowed into this lifeless sea. Fishers of men. That's our day. I'm a fisher of men. You're a fisher of men. A common expression among the fishermen is all limits are off. What does that mean? Bring in as many fish as you can. It describes the work of the Spirit in Ezekiel's vision. Go for all you can. No one will be unreachable. Woo! How many times do we look at people by the way they look? Tattoos from the neck down to their feet. Tattoos and piercings and all kinds of rings and all kinds of places. And we think, what could God ever do? You'll be surprised what he'll do. You'll be surprised what he'll do. And he'll do it with such people as those we've judged and said, how can that be? Because he's not doing nothing with you. Where are you at? But he can do it with a heart that's what's ready. Hello? Addicts, the unchurched, the Islamics, yes. Even those whose home isn't this home. They've been imported. They've immigrants. Can you imagine God's touching their hearts? Yes, I can imagine it. Let their dead religions at home where they came from and embrace Christianity and embrace the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Woo, glory. People from all walks of life are going to come into this life net. The Spirit spreads for them. Whom the world sees as unreachable will be wholly transformed by the power of the gospel. Just as it happened with the disciples in the days that they caught fish, it was so great that the nets began to tear. Remember the story? Yes, in the same way. The church will barely be able to handle all who will run to Jesus in that very hour. The Apostle John tells us in the book of Revelation, the number who will stand before Christ's throne on the final day will be multitudes that no one can number. In the last hour, Satan will send a flood against the church. He is intent on carrying away God's elect. And so he's going to flood the church with all kinds of things and afflictions. And when that happens, believers will endure fires that are seven times hotter. But I can tell you that God won't allow this demonic flood to come against his people, because he is going to raise up a standard against it. And you can see that by the prophet Isaiah 59 and verse 19. He's going to send the greatest and most powerful outpouring of his spirit ever in the history of our world. No force, no spiritual or human will be able to stop it. So I ask you this morning, has the devil come at you with an overwhelming flood? Does it seem, are you drowning in troubles and pain? Are you drifting in a sea of lifelessness? Have you been convinced that your well is dry? Have you bought the enemy's lie that there's nothing life-giving flowing out of you? But I can tell you the devil is still a liar. As long as you trust Jesus as Lord and you believe and he gives the Holy Spirit to all who ask, you must know that he is in you as an artesian well. Any of you familiar with an artesian well? This water is forced to the surface by underground pressure, and it produces a constant stream. And I can tell you that that underground pressure is the Spirit that brings forth life in you. So this morning, you might feel downcast by the circumstances that you may find yourself in. But I can tell you, no lie from hell nor any human power can stop this flow of water that will be springing up within you. According to John 4:14, the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So fear not, for the river of God is coming. His Spirit is flowing into that lifeless sea in you. It is a river that is more powerful than Satan's flood. Ezekiel has testified that wherever this river flows, it brings forth lush and green life to everything it touches. Praise his wonderful name. I'm closing with this. This is what I see. This is what I see coming. Now you know where you can find in the Bible where it says there'll be a last day revival. You've just heard it here in Ezekiel 47. A last day revival. Here's what I see. I see a harvest coming. One of the greatest soul-saving harvests that's ever been seen in church history. Remember the 3,000 who heard Peter stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost? They were all saved on that day. But I can tell you that the Holy Spirit that's going to flow will be more than just a trickle. It was a trickle back then, but nothing compared to what it's going to be. Just think of what's coming as we see this river that overflows its banks in this last day. As Ezekiel said, he couldn't walk across it. He had to swim. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Revelation 12 and 16. The river flows all over the earth, and it's going to swallow up the flood that Satan has put forth. So I urge you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I urge you now to pray with me this prayer. Holy Ghost, flow through every desert in our church, every dry spot in our church, not only ours, but churches all through this community. Flow through the wilderness in each of our lives, into the lifeless sea of iniquity and in the world. Bring your healing waters to the millions of souls who are lost in these lifeless waters. Multitudes that no one can even imagine. And Lord, forgive our unbelief for limiting your reach. Amazing what you can do. If we just trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone stand. Time to go home. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. What a joy and privilege it was to share it today. Just love being able to share your precious word. What a joy it is to see what's going to happen, what's already happening, Lord, all around us, Father. Give us eyes to see it, like those who were with the prophet and couldn't see all the angels. And then you opened their eyes and they said, oh, look at all the angels that are here to protect us. And so it is with us today. Give us eyes to see. Thank you for your amazing grace today to me and for each and every one. It's time, Lord, to go home. Father, I pray that we'll be a good witness this week. I pray that, Lord, that we'll be able to reach somebody this week that don't know you as Lord and Savior, and we'll be able to share our testimony with them, share what you've been doing in our lives so they can come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for this day and for what you've done and accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.